Good morning. A very happy early anniversary to you. As you know, we are celebrating our 75th anniversary as a church at St. George's formally next Sunday, next weekend. We're going to have a lot of celebration, and I hope you'll take part in that. You'll hear a little bit more about that during our announcements, but an early happy anniversary to you. Connected with that, if you have been part of our Essentials Bible study, our topic this semester has been being the church. In other words, what does it mean to be the church? We're celebrating 75 years as a church. Well, what does that mean? What is the church? And we explore a variety of topics in that Essentials study that I hope you're a part of. But I want to talk about an additional one this morning that we don't cover in Essentials. And this by no means is an exhaustive list. This is just an additional aspect of what I believe it means to be the church. From our reading from Job, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy?'" So a little bit of context. What's going on there? If you're not familiar with Job or have not heard the readings from Job recently, you probably know the story at some level. Job is a very successful guy. He ends up having chaos thrust upon him, and he loses everything. And Job begins to cry out at his misfortune, and he in fact declares that God must be asleep and has fallen down on the job. He's fallen asleep at the wheel of running the universe because of the divine neglect that he believes he's suffering. He's enduring in his mind injustice, and he's crying out. So what's going on? And we'll talk about this the rest of, or actually I'll talk about it and you'll listen. But I'll talk about it for the next few minutes. And that is, we've all done this. It's the age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people, right? I think, well, Job's asking that question here, and people have asked that question throughout time. God answers him in what I said to you today, saying that I've actually not fallen asleep on the job. My attention is actually on every single detail of the operations of the universe, its creation, the way it's being sustained, and I'm privy to all sorts of perspectives and details that you don't have, Job. So it feels a little bit like a smackdown, and we can think of it that way, but God is saying you are experiencing things that you don't understand, and I have not fallen asleep on the job. There's a lot more that can be said about what's happening in Job, but I'm going to leave it at that, because I want to explore for just a moment what that might have to do with us as a faith community. Again, back to the question, what is the church? How does this apply to St. George's? Well, as I mentioned, we all have these questions regarding suffering. What about the existence of evil and darkness in the world? We ask all of the whys, right? Why? Why this injustice? Why these disasters? Why these hurricanes? Why this famine? And if you listen, we can be left with, at least in my opinion, some really unsatisfactory conclusions that people come to, such as, and this drives me crazy, if you've said this, forgive me, but for instance, in the hurricanes, they'll interview somebody in the aftermath, and they'll say, you know, We were right in the line of destruction, and we prayed, and God moved the hurricane, and our house was spared. Well, that's good for you, but bad for where he moved the hurricane to, right? So maybe they weren't praying hard enough, or maybe he likes you better than he likes them. If you see my drift, that's not a very satisfactory answer. People come to these conclusions, and I get it, they're well-intentioned. They want to believe that their prayers move the hand of God to move that hurricane, but what does it mean for the people that were destroyed in the hurricane? Are you following me? It hurts, because there's real suffering that happened. The people that were over here in the path are asking that question, why? Why did this happen to us? What is it with these storms, these famines? Why is there injustice in the world? What is going on? Well, theologians, philosophers, armchair know-it-alls have been addressing those questions for millennia. And thus far, as I've said, I think humanity has been found that the answers are wanting. They're not particularly satisfactory. So God's response to Job, to Job's demanding questions, why is all of this happening? Well, if you read them, they're actually indirect. God doesn't answer the question. He just talks about how he was the one who created everything that you see and that he's paying attention to details, but he doesn't answer Job's question directly. And we can ask, well, why? But again, I'm not going to give you a very satisfactory answer because I'm not positive as to why. But one conclusion we could draw is that perhaps like Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men, we can't handle the truth, right? Y'all remember that movie? You can't handle the truth. And I don't think that God would be rude to us in saying that, but there are things, frankly, above our pay grade that we just don't know. There is mystery. There are things that we can't explain. What I do want you to know is throughout this, and we see this in the person of Jesus Christ, is that God does not have a dark side. And I can't preach on that right now. You may have grown up believing that God has this dark side, and all of a sudden, you know, his better angel comes out in Jesus, kind of his, when he got up on the right side of the bed, we get Jesus. But if he gets up on the wrong side of the bed, we get this other guy. God does not have two faces. Our creeds, we say the creed all the time, that they are exactly the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, exactly the same. And that sameness is goodness and mercy and justice. So the bad things that are happening in this world, the injustice that we see, the darkness, this is not God manipulating things up there for somebody's demise or to teach them a lesson. Even as people, we would have a problem with that. Our justice system even looks at a parent who says, you know what, son, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to break your arm so that you learn this lesson. Our own justice system, which is not always just, would say, oh, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. We're not better than God. He's not doing that to us. I really want you to get that. And just keep coming back and you'll hear more about it. But God doesn't have a dark side that we're trying to run from or that he's trying to hide from us. But there are things that we don't fully understand, these injustices in the world. So how does that relate to us as a church at St. George's? Well, our difficult questions will never go away. We are going to continue to ask the questions of why. Why the injustice? Where are you, God? Don't you see this suffering? We get angry. What's going on? Those questions will remain with us, I suspect, until we're in the new heavens and the new earth. We will continue to ask them. Sometimes we'll even demand a response from God like Job does. Where are you? You know that I've faithfully attended church, that I volunteer down at the soup kitchen, I do room in the inn, I tithe. What else do you want from me? Why is this happening? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm not the only one who's ever said things like that. They're honest. Like the Psalms and like Job, they're honest questions. What is going on? And I believe that these questions are an integral domain for the church. We are to create a safe space inside a community of question askers who are all stumbling towards the truth. Because if we just ignore these questions or act like they don't exist, we cannot grow. That's fantasy land, right? We need a safe place to ask those questions. What's going on? Why can my son or daughter not see that they are walking down the road to destruction, that these addictions are killing them and hurting their family? Why can I not get through to them? God, what can I do? We have those questions, and they're not going to go away. And we need a place where we can come ask those questions. And so my invitation to you, our invitation as the St. George's staff, is to come and bring your questions. And together we will share ways of working toward thoughts, sometimes which are coherent and help bring some clarity to things, but then sometimes just having to say, you know what, there's some paradox here and I don't know why, but I can tell you that God is good and he's not the author of this. So let's just keep pressing in. And let's support one another. I've probably shared this quotation with you before, but I love it. Everyone is fighting a battle that you know nothing about. It's true. Every one of us is fighting different battles that other people know nothing about. So I know I'm not the only one to ask these questions. This, I trust, if we have a place to come ask these questions, affects our lives that can bring wholeness, which is what salvation actually means in the original language. Wholeness, completeness. It can bring wholeness to our families and our communities if we have a place to ask these questions together. The church is not a place for soapboxes or agendas or building issue-driven movements. That's my opinion. You can have a different one. We're a place of healing and striving to know our Savior, who is good all the time, and asking these questions together. Church is a time to be together and see if we can't find helpful and healing perspectives. And your presence in this conversation matters. It's not just that those of us in these nice-looking collars have the answers. If you believe that, you've been sold a bill of goods. We are working at this together. You bring a unique history, your own experiences, your own traumas, your own blessings, your own studies to bear, and we need to be a part of that together. The missing part of the conversation might be you. That's why we gather as church. Yes, to worship the one who is good, but it's more than just worship. It is us coming together to walk through this thing, thank you, Prince, called life. I got a few people that are Prince fans. Hallelujah. And life is getting increasingly more complex. I know your parents and grandparents have said it to you. Well, back when I was growing up, but they're right. It wasn't as complex as it is now. I've seen it in our daughters. Our four daughters growing up in an environment that Mary and I did not grow up in. It was simpler. There is no shame in asking these questions. And shame has no proper place in the church. It's an attack against the very good creation that God has brought into being, and that is you. Questions do not change that. You've heard me say this before, but I want to conclude on this. You are fundamentally a very good creation long before there was any suffering or darkness or anything was broken, which happens to us in a world of everybody has free will and free ego and things that they want to do. We're bound to rub up against one another in really crummy ways. The image of God in you is the truest thing about you. Even now, in the midst sometimes of anger and confusion and these painful questions, you are God's child and you have the right to ask them. And in fact, I'd be more disturbed if you were indifferent and had no questions at all. It is right to wonder, what is going on? Where's the justice in this? Because there's something in you that knows that there's something amiss. That's good. So let's reason and pray through these things together. The church, St. George's, is a place where we strive to be a safe place, to be human, to be God's children, and to wrestle together with these meaningful questions about life around us and God's life within us. Amen.